Kicks off a trifecta of KZFR Wednesday public affairs programming airing from 5 to 5:30.
Each week we explore poverty, the worst form of violence, focusing on human beings without a roof. Thanks for listening, and if you have a roof, be grateful. Non-Human Radio, hosted by Jeannie Trezino, talks all things animal rights, bringing you the latest news and interviews with local activists.
Plus book, film, and restaurant reviews and deep discussions of the benefits of veganism.
For humans and non-humans alike, Wednesdays from 5:30 till 6 p.m. The Real Issue, hosted by Sue Hildebrand, digs into topics ranging from elections to environmental protection.
From social justice to economic justice, from the local to the global.
We cover the political part of everything. Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. Thanks for listening to
Beat the Power Radio.
Non-Human Radio was made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the local, seasonal, and organic delights at Farmstar Pizza, where the farmer is the star. Farmstar features artisan pizzas, salads, appetizers, and desserts with, oh yes, vegan and gluten-free offerings, craft beer, and eclectic wines. Farmstar Pizza is open Monday through Friday for lunch, noon on Saturday and Sunday, and for dinner, 7 nights a week, with live music on Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. They're located at 2359 The Esplanade. Visit farmstarpizza.com or like them on Facebook. And we're brought to you by Grana Wood-Fired Foods. Using local, sustainable, organic ingredients, Grana creates fresh seasonal dishes, including authentic Neapolitan pizza. Grana offers boutique wines and craft beers, and they're located right in the heart of Chico at 198 East 2nd Street. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Visit granachico.com or call 809-2304 for details. This is KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. All right. Welcome to the May 2nd, 2018 episode of Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico and streaming online at kzfr.org. You can also find us on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. I'm Jeannie Trezino.
And I'm Danny Toms. Today we'll be talking about a recent study that found that by going vegan, America could feed an additional 390 million people, as Dr. Evil used to say and talk about food security and social justice. We'll follow that story with news of a Seattle-based vegan food company that received another $1 million in startup funding. We'll end with a recent Chico news and review story on the Brave the Cage event that was held on the Chico State campus last month. Jeannie, what do you have for us?
Thank you, Danny. In a story published last month, the LA Times reported that more than 41 million Americans find themselves at risk of going hungry at some point during the year, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. But it doesn't have to be this way. New research suggests that the country could feed itself, all 327 million Americans, plus roughly 390 million more, by focusing on plants. If U.S. farmers took all the land currently devoted to raising cattle, pigs, and chickens and used it to grow plants instead, they could sustain more than twice as many people as they do now, according to a report published on April 10, 2018, in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, which is a peer-reviewed journal. Set aside your cravings for cheeseburgers, bacon, and chicken wings for a moment, please, and consider the argument made by Ron Milo, a systems biology and sustainability researcher at the Weizmann Institute of Science in Israel. His study examined American eating habits and agricultural production in the years 2000 to 2010 And for their calculations, the researchers used a base U.S. population of 300 million. That's to make the math work out easier. With the help of spreadsheets, they removed beef, pork, chicken, dairy, and eggs from the American diet and replaced those items with plant-based foods that were nutritionally comparable. The replacement foods provided the same amount of calories, protein, fiber, vitamins, and minerals without increasing fat or cholesterol. And here's what they found. So imagine an area of land that can produce 100 grams of edible protein from plants. If you take that same amount of land and use it to produce eggs instead, you would end up with only 60 grams of edible protein, which the study's authors defined as an opportunity food loss of 40%, right? The food is not producing as many calories per unit of area than if it were raising plants. So if you do the same thing and you use that land to raise chickens, it would produce only 50 grams of protein in the form of poultry. If it were devoted to dairy cows, it would produce only 25 grams of protein in the form of milk products. And if that land became a home for pigs, it would provide only 10 grams of protein in the form of pork. And if you put cattle there, you'd get just 4 grams of protein in the form of beef. Swapping plants for eggs would then make it possible to feed 1 million additional people with plants offering the same nutrients and calories. And at the other end of the spectrum, swapping plants for beef would result in enough food to meet the full dietary needs of 163 million extra people. So, if beef, pork, chicken, dairy, and eggs were all replaced by an equivalent combination of potatoes, peanuts, soybeans, and other plants, the total amount of food available to be eaten would increase by 120%, researchers calculated. So, to reframe that, to put that in perspective, the amount of food that's currently wasted due to things such as spoilage and inefficient production methods is between 30 and 40% of what U.S. farmers produce. So the effect of recovering that opportunity food loss is larger than completely eliminating all conventional food loss or waste in the United States. And that was an article by Karen Kaplan from the March 26, 2018 issue of the LA Times, the Los Angeles Times. So I just think that these kinds of calculations are interesting. We don't know what we can do until we start looking at the numbers and honestly calculating them. I know a few months ago, actually last year sometime, I talked about Dr. Greg Leitis, who did a similar presentation calculating acreage of land and growing plants organically, actually, without animal inputs, no animal manure, and being able to produce enough calories to feed all of the U.S. population.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, this kind of science is a bit hard, and there's always going to be ways to sort of attack it here, there, and everywhere, because it's talking about big numbers, you know, aggregating stuff across the world, across different types of land. But I think it's, you know, to the naked eye, to sort of the naive approach to anything, obviously something that you have to grow something to feed something, to feed something else, to do something else. It's the thing at the end of that chain takes more energy, takes more food, takes more costs.
Right, and that's why you end up with just 10 grams of protein in the form of pork and just 4 grams of protein in the form of beef.
Right.
You have all these extra inputs that are required to produce that.
And I think other important notes are like what was stated here that, you know, between 30 and 40% of our produce is wasted, you know, and spoilage is one thing. But a lot of it is, you know, kind of how marketing works and how supermarkets work and how distribution methods for food work. And so, you know, Americans are conditioned never to buy anything with a blemish from a supermarket. And so a lot of that food can't be sold. And then obviously things that are rotting in the field, we grow food, but we forget to, you know, we can't get a truck there in time or the truck can't get to the factory in time. That's all also, you know, stuff that should be addressed. I think the other thing I was thinking of, you know, again, these are very high level numbers. So I do want to be careful about saying you could, you know, grow take beef cattle pasture and grow soybeans there, because certainly we've talked a lot about how we pasture cattle out.
Oh, sure.
In, you know, basically the old lava flows here in the North State.
I can just hear folks saying, but what about
less
than totally fertile lands? Well, at least you can grow beef on it. That's argument, right?
And that's there, but that's sort of nitpicking. You know, I think the study probably stands and the overall numbers are there.
Well, we also talk about in the course of beef production in particular, most beef do not stay out on the grasslands. They are eventually moved off those pastures and put into feedlots where that's where you get a lot of this intent.
Right.
The amount of arable land that's dedicated to growing soybeans for those animals, soybean, corn, and wheat for those animals and feedlots, that's part of what's going into this 4 grams per unit comparison for beef compared to
And it's, you know, it's a win-win all the way around. This is talking about how much more food we could get by switching to this plant-based approach. It doesn't even mention the pollution that's reduced, the carbon, you know, monoxide, the basically the blood that's washing down the rivers, the resultant environmental disasters that come from this. Like, it is kind of a core crux of a lot of environmental issues animal agriculture is. So
yeah, in general, our food systems have a lot of collateral damage.
Right.
Right. So what I like about these kinds of analyses, is, though, is that they look at the loading factors. Like, before you get that gram of protein from an animal, here's all the inputs that aren't measured, right? So we can measure waste. We can measure, you know, we have X amount of tons of food, and we have X number of tons of waste in the form of spoilage, right? And we're less good at figuring out tons of grain that go into producing X number of grams of animal protein.
Mm-hmm.
So, and those numbers, if you look at, you can weigh your soybeans, and that's the number of grams of protein you will get as a human consuming it.
Right.
So, all right. Okay. Well, on to the next story, Danny.
All right. Seattle Food Tech, which is a new plant-based company. And that's literally their website and their domain. So sort of Seattle Food as one word and dot tech as the suffix, which as a software person I can tell you is because they opened up extra domains in the past few years, which kind of lets you have a cool URL, but it also means nobody's going to remember it. But anyway, so on
On
April 18th of this year, the spoon.tech website reported on a startup company called Seattle Food Tech. So
we have a lot of tech going on here.
Right. So by now, I think everyone has heard of Impossible Foods. I think it's being offered in town at Burgers and Brew, Leon's, the Banshee. So the Impossible Foods is makes the Impossible Burger, I hope. And you've heard of Beyond Meat, but there's a new plant-based meat company now on the scene. And this company called Seattle Food Tech launched in 2017 and recently raised $1 million in a seed funding round. So this company hopes to produce plant-based meat at a scale and a price comparable to traditional animal-based meat, which, as we discuss here, that traditional price is pretty low due to subsidies, factory farming, and lots of things. In February, they finished developing their first product, a, quote, chicken nugget made of textured wheat, oil, possibly chicken-like flavoring, cornstarch, and corn breading. And what sets this product above its humble ingredients and makes it so good, according to the founder and CEO, Christy Legale, is how it's processed. So in order to make plant-based meat at scale and at a price competitive with meat, plant-based food companies have to develop intensive manufacturing technology and new processes specialized to their products. So if you think about, like, factory farming, like, it's a factory. Building a factory is not trivial, and designing a factory that works well takes several dozens of years. And so this kind of plant-based meat factorization, if that's a word, you know, they're inventing new factories.
Industrialization.
So they've got a lot of, you can't just take, you know, something that cut up cows and use it for this approach. So they've got to build that factory and figure it out. So that's what these guys are doing. And so in this way, Seattle Food Tech is disrupting both the meat and the plant-based meat industry, along with several partners and equipment suppliers. Legale, who is a mechanical engineer with 15 years of engineering experience and the holder of 5 patents in manufacturing technology, is working on developing these specialized machines for plant-based meat production. So essentially, as we said, she wants to industrialize the alternative meat industry. So at the moment, though, this sounds a little weird, the nuggets are made through a contract manufacturer. So they've kind of got the food through their... They've got the product and they're making it through a contractor while they figure out their big factory. So their end goal of Seattle Food Tech is to start a facility specially designed to manufacture plant-based products on a large scale. Seattle Food Tech also distinguishes itself from other plant-based meat companies in its go-to market strategy. I feel like I should have a suit on. So while Impossible Foods goes after restaurants and Beyond Meat sells on supermarket shelves, the Seattle-based company plans to market their product wholesale to institutional dining halls, such as schools, cafeterias, these guys that buy tons of stuff, which is why they have to invent their own factories and methods of servicing this, which also means it's a much greater opportunity to reduce cruelty to animals because they're replacing so much food.
Yeah, and it's interesting, in those particular venues, schools and hospital cafeterias, that's not where people really have a choice.
Yeah.
You know, it's like... Somebody else has done the choice of what to buy, how to prepare it, and how to serve it, and how to price it.
Right.
And by and large, people just accept it.
Yeah, right? And it's typically as cheap as possible within their price points and how much food they have to produce while meeting some kind of FDA health guidelines. By opting not to sell their nuggets as a consumer packaged food, Seattle Tech can then offer them at roughly the same cost as meat, around $2 per serving. You know, if you're selling to consumers, you got to package stuff up, you got to do marketing and advertising and a bunch of other stuff, other
right.
costs come
all
into play.
That adds to the cost. I mean, look at like things like shampoo or other consumer
right.
goods. Like, you're paying mostly for the marketing on those products,
right? It's kind of, you know, in a sense, the difference between buying in bulk and not buying in bulk, and they're trying to produce in bulk. Once the company gets their volumes up, they then might consider putting their products into larger grocery stores like Walmart and Costco, but that's not their goal right now. So fundamentally, society can't replace meat if it's not convenient, good tasting, priced well, and widely available. And Seattle Food Tech hopes to have its nuggets in schools and hospital dining halls by the fall of 2018.
That's pretty quick. That's pretty quick.
Yeah, I think that's using probably the contracted ones, but... That'd be my guess, but
yeah. I just thought this was a surprising approach for a food company.
Right.
Not so much that is their market, but that wasn't a market for the other companies. That
right.
Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods weren't like that wasn't first on their list of places where their products would be consumed.
Yeah, I think, you know, it kind of goes to the founder's experience, to what they want to do, probably to what land access they have and where they can build a factory. If you think about Hampton Creek, which used to be Just Mayo, that was also their strategy, not just to make Just Mayo for the supermarket, but to make it for all 7-Elevens in the United States.
And they also had schools and, you know, like,
yeah,
as their target market.
Which is...
Yeah, go ahead.
Which is another, it's an easier product to probably make that kind of, it's just stuff you mix in a vat, delicious stuff, but a little bit easier than, you know, a big something creating a chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's all kinds of ways, you know, in activism we've talked about, there's, you know, it's by hook or by crook to get these goals. There's legislative ways, there's inventions, there's social activism, there's many ways to move forward.
And the other thing, the other interesting angle on this particular company, Seattle Food Tech, is that their CEO is a woman who has many years of engineering experience.
Yeah.
Like, this is a person who probably could make a great career, interesting, you know, satisfying career, staying in the engineering field. You know, engineering. She was
right.
a former Boeing engineer. She could be satisfied there, but her mission. Was not to be there, right? This is her passion, to try and make this work. So
usually when you have women CEOs, good things start to happen.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
What's next, Jeannie? Jeannie is the woman CEO of Non-Human Radio.
Okay. We're going to a local story. The April 26th edition of the Chico News and Review ran a great article on the Brave the Cage event, which is an anti-factoring farming event that they had at Chico State. The article, written by CNR writer Ashia Sharaga, opened like this. The metal cage barely offered enough room for its student prisoners to stand, and the early afternoon was already saturated with springtime heat, mirroring the intensity of what they were learning. There was no cause for alarm because they entered willingly, able to leave whenever they liked. But that's more than can be said for the chickens who spend their entire lives in comparable conditions. Grace Amico, Animal Place's Brave the Cage Outreach Coordinator, explained the significance of the experience to the students Jamie Cabrera and her friend Andrew Cobian, as all three of them stuffed themselves into the cage. This is a replica size battery hen cage. Animal Place, which is an organization based in Grass Valley, has rescued neglected and abused farm animals since 1989 and visited Chico State earlier last week to share the harsh realities of factory farming with students and to encourage them to change their diets. Most chickens spend about 2 years in such confines, after which they are killed as their egg production declines, and not to forget that male chicks are killed practically at birth or hatching once their sex is determined. When the hens are raised this way, they become stressed, Grace Amico told the reporter. Stress often translates into aggressive pecking behavior and even cannibalism. Rather than provide more space, farmers typically de-beak the hens, a process in which a chicken's sensitive beak is clipped or burned without anesthetic to curb the pecking behavior.
I mean, think about it. Your kids are too handsy and they fight too much. Are you going to cut their hands off? Would it even occur to you?
And would you do that without anesthesia?
Right. At least anesthetize your kids before you mutilate them.
Amico later told the Chico News and Review that, quote, all this cruelty happens when people are treating animals as commodities, when really they are living, breathing beings. The cage definitely made an impression on Jamie Cabrera, who was inside for less than a minute and said, reported feeling squashed and unable to breathe. As a child, Cabrera raised chickens with her family, and she told the News and Review that thinking of putting them into a tiny place like that broke her heart. Factory farming results in the slaughter of 10 billion animals each year in the United States. Animal Place promotes a vegan lifestyle. In addition to outreach, the organization's 600-acre sanctuary in Grass Valley provides refuge for 300 animals from farms, slaughterhouses, research facilities, and neglect and cruelty cases. Its Grass Valley location offers farm tours, cooking classes, and workshops, along with volunteer and internship opportunities. I just want to give a shout out to our local weekly Chico News and Review for that great coverage of the Brave the Cage event.
Awesome. What do you think, Jeannie? Is it time for the calendar?
It's always time for the calendar.
All right.
Because we always want to go places and do things. So we have some great events to put on your calendar. If you need more info, please send me an email at chicovegan@gmail.com. Okay. Tomorrow, May 3rd, we have a couple of events. We have the Blue Zone Paradise site visit summary. We had Melissa Schuster from Blue Zone Paradise trying to get that off the ground and rolling. In Paradise, while they're doing a summary presentation tomorrow, Thursday, May 3rd at 8 a.m. in the Sierra Hall in Paradise at 6165 Center Street. They're going to give a presentation that will include a brief overview of the Blue Zones project for those who are not able to attend the site visit. And also May 3rd, tomorrow, is the Chico for Animal Rights Club meeting, which will be held from 5 to 6 p.m. at Yolo Hall, number room 206 at Chico State. Join Chico for Animal Rights Club meeting for its last meeting for the semester, and they will be having free vegan pizza from Woodstocks for that. Also on May 4th, Friday, is an interesting symposium called Impossible Ethics, hosted by UC Davis by their Interdisciplinary Animal Studies Group. That's Friday, May 4th, 1 to 4 p.m. at UC Davis, and it's a one-day symposium on the tensions and collaborations in the field of animal studies, focusing on race, gender, labor, and affiliations between groups. One of the talks is titled Murder and Mattering in Harambe's House, and that'll be presented by Claire Jean Kim of UC Irvine, and she'll be, of course, talking about the killing of the gorilla Harambe at the Cincinnati Zoo back in May 2016. My goodness, a year later already, huh?
Mm.
And then the next, one of the other presentations is going to be Practicing Impossible Things or When Pigs Fly, the Theory and Praxis of Intra and Interspecies Solidarity and Humane Jobs, presented by Kendra Coulter. So those sound like an interesting number of talks. There's one other one looking at Denmark, which has a great number of environmentalists, and yet also that country tops the world charts in per capita meat consumption. Hmm. So looking at that kind of conflict and how that can come about. May 5th is the good old favorite, the Endangered Species Fair, hosted by the Butte Environmental Council from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Cedar Grove in Bidwell Park. Since 1979, the Butte Environmental Council has been hosting the annual Endangered Species Fair in commemoration of Earth Day. With a full day of exhibits, activities, and presentations, and entertainment, approximately 5,000 people of all ages visit and participate in one of Northern California's oldest annual environmental fairs. Next Saturday, May 12th, is a class on vegan cheese making taught by yours truly, Jeannie Trezino, and that'll be hosted by the Chico chapter of Dharma Voices for Animals from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Sky Creek Dharma Center. You can get tickets at brownpapertickets.com or check out the chicovegan.com website.
Jeannie's cheeses are great. You should try them.
Yeah, I'll be making a brie, a pepper jack, and a mozzarella for folks to check out. Also on May 12th is the Mother's Day brunch at Animal Place from 11:30 to 3 p.m. over there in Grass Valley. You can get tickets at animalplace.org, and that's going to be a special catered vegan brunch at Animal Place along with tours, and there will be a catered good that will be the event. a vegan brunch and tours of the sanctuary. Tickets available at animalplace.org on Mother's Day, May 12th, 11:30 to 3 p.m. All right. We're going through the whole calendar today. May 12th also, the Sacramento Animal Rights will be hosting a Mother's Day protest at Honey Baked Ham at 5300 Sunrise Boulevard in Fair Oaks. That'll be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Please join Sacramento Animal Rights for a peaceful demonstration and outreach at Honey Baked Ham the day before Mother's Day. They will have signs and literature, but of course, feel free to bring your own. They'll be protesting in front of the store on the public sidewalk. And for more information, contact organizer Stacy Sanders on Facebook. And we have a local activist heading up a whole weekend of protest and boycotting of the Reading Rodeo, hosted by the group Rally Against Rodeo. That'll be starting Wednesday, May 16th through Sunday, May 19th from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Reading Rodeo Arena at 715 Auditorium Drive in Reading. So while entertaining the audience, rodeo horses and bulls are physically provoked in order to make cowboys appear more impressive. Attendees may be unaware of the level of suffering that the animals endure at the price of and as the price of entertainment. So this, it will be a vigil to help kind of erase that that ignorance. And so in case you're not aware, rodeos use various tools of torment to make animals appear more aggressive than they actually are. Such tools include metal spurs and bucking straps that burn the animal's abdomen and groin area and cause them to buck, which causes those animals back and leg injuries. And the Reading Rodeo in particular features something called mutton busting. And this is a version of bronco riding transformed into a children's game. Kids between the ages of 4 and 7 are placed on the backs of sheep who immediately try to get the children off their backs, and whoever stays on the longest is the winner. And I just want to flip this around from the sheep's point of view. From the sheep's point of view, those children are perceived as predators being attached to their backs. And so they're just terrified. And of course, both the kids and the sheep often get injured, like broken arms are not uncommon consequences of this. So for more information, go to the Rally Against Rodeo Facebook page. They're doing a lot of good activism and awareness about the rodeo in the North State. And then on May 19th, we're going into the third Saturday of the month, the Blackberry Creek Farm Animal Sanctuary. We've had Josh and Danielle Hanisch as guests on the show many times. They will be having their 2018 Barn Raising Gala event on Saturday, May 19th from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. at their sanctuary in Colfax, California. You can get tickets at blackberrycreek.org, their website. And this will be a night of dining, drinking, dancing, and then maybe some drinking again, to make a difference Your participation will be impactful in the lives of animals and in their education about health, the environment, and compassion towards all. And there will be live music and dancing along with appetizers, a great silent auction, and some kind of signature cocktail for this event. And that is what we have for the Chico Vegan Calendar of Events. And if you have anything that you want to share with me, go ahead and send me an email at chicovegan@gmail.com. So we have one last piece of business to take care of, and that is the Animal Rights Quote of the Week. Take it away, Danny.
Our Animal Rights Quote of the Week is from psychologist Dr. Casey Taft, author of many books on vegan advocacy methods. This quote is from his recent book, The Millennial Vegan. When we have developed true awareness of the harm that humans do to non-human animals in so many ways, opting out of contributing to this harm feels like the only course of action we can truly take that will provide us with greater peace of mind.
I know that's true for me.
Yep. Non-human radio is made possible through the generous contributions of KZFR listeners like you. Thanks to Guillermo Bill Mash and Sue Hildebrand for their engineering assistance and moral support. Stay tuned for The Real Issue coming up next at 6 p.m.
This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, its volunteers, or its staff.
We do, however, reflect the opinions of our non-human fellow earthlings who would rather not be killed and eaten, hunted, raced, experimented upon, have small children upon their backs, have bucking straps attached for people to jeer and laugh at, and otherwise abused.
Our theme music is Ready to Fall by vegan activist rockers Rise Against.
This is Danny Toms and Jeannie Trezino signing off. Until next week, be different, be better, be kind,
and go vegan.